systems go. Prepare for countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off to adventure in the amazing year 400 billion.
Obscene, dirty, filthy, immoral.
What are you people? On dope?
What's up, dude?
Hey, man, what's up? Do you use anything to record besides Audacity?
I actually don't use Audacity. I got a wicked, awesome, paid-for version of Cool Edit Pro 2.1 before Adobe bought it and turned it into Adobe Audition and ripped out all the plugins that Cool Edit came with for free, so you can actually pay Adobe even more money to get the plugins. So, yeah, that's what we use. And it's awesome.
Yeah, because my Audacity keeps crashing, and I had another one, but I guess the free trial ran out, so I'm worried that it's going to crash today.
Of Audacity?
Yeah, you'll press stop, and then it'll just say, like, this is shutting down. And then shut down.
That's awesome. I thought Audacity was a open-source program anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... Obviously, it's, like, free, so it's not great, because
right.
It crashes all the time.
That's what I've heard. Everyone else uses, too. Like Keith and the Girl and all the big podcasts, like they use Audacity for some reason.
Yeah, maybe I have a shitty computer too that won't run freeware programs.
That might be it. So is this for a school project or what's the deal with this?
Yeah, I mean, when I sent that to Keith and the Girl, I mean, I'm only like grabbing like one or two quotes. Like you're supposed to write about something in town and the teacher just went around the class and asked everybody what they want to write about. And when she came to me, I'm like, internet radio in Tucson or whatever. And she's like, oh, that's interesting. But
nice.
Like nobody else responded to my email. So I'm essentially just like writing about myself. I'm like jerking myself off.
Fuck yeah. You're like, Matt'll do it. He'll do fucking anything.
Yeah. And so I just started like emailing different podcasts I listen to.
Did anyone else answer you?
The only podcast that weren't in Tucson were to Keith and the Girl and you, and ironically, that's the only people that answered. Like, I tried to, like, get in touch with this church that puts all their sermons, like, on a podcast.
Oh,
but
Respond to it. They do that up here, too. They just record sermon and throw it up.
Yeah, it's like the hip church where the guys are, like, bald and have goatees and wear glasses.
Yeah, they're all, like, new age, and they're like, we're hip and cool, and we love God, Oh, it sucks.
Yeah, and I guess there's this like tech radio show that's based out of here that actually looks pretty popular on iTunes, but they didn't respond to my email either.
Yeah, and I can see, like, I've been listening to Keith and the Girl for a long time, and I've seen, like, four people do what you did, and they all ask pretty much the same questions, and it's almost like when they do that, Keith kind of takes it as, you're sending me this so I do your homework for you, kind of, so he doesn't respond very well to that kind of shit at all. Like, they just don't give a fuck, and they're, you know, really popular, so they have that ego to them, even though they're really nice people in person, but when it's over the podcast, they're just like really high on their pedestal kind of thing, and if you don't have something to offer them, then you can go fuck yourself, pretty much.
Well, I obviously was asking softballs, because the people that are going to be reading this might not even know what a podcast is. I'm not going to get around to talking about, like, shitting in a file cabinet and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And from his perspective, he wanted you to probably explain all that stuff and then ask them more show-oriented questions. And like I said, the main reason for that is so they can get their name out there to even more people, is what it is. They don't give a fuck about, like, podcasting in general unless it has to do with helping them get more recognition or, like, a big-name magazine kind of thing. If it's just some kid in the middle of fucking Arizona doing a school report, yeah, they're going to totally shit all over it. But, see, I don't really give a shit, so I'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I had to grab quotes. Like, I pretty much knew the answers to all the questions, but I wanted to, like, put some, I don't know. I'm this close to putting in the article that he called my questions, like terrible and awful, because I thought that would be funny to quote him on.
Right, the quote from Keith Malley, go fuck yourself, end quote.
Yeah.
But no, teacher, I really look up to him. He's nice.
It's fine. I'm not offended or anything. It was actually, like, you know, it's probably they made the best radio out of my stupid email they could. I didn't know he was going to read it on the air either. I thought he might just not answer it or write back, fuck you, which is fine. I said, you know, answer zero if you want.
Right. And he's like, oh, thank you. So, yeah, I can see that. That's cool, though. It was amusing. I was laughing. I was like, holy shit, he sent me that, too. That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Like, can I use your last name in this?
Yeah, for sure. Use whatever.
What is it?
You can find it on Facebook. No, it's Lee, L-E-E, Matt Lee.
Yeah. Oh, you dropped the extra T off Matt.
Well, yeah, my God-given name is Matthew, which means a gift from God. So take from that what you fucking will. But, yeah, the older I got, the shorter it got. It was, like, Matthew, and then in fifth grade it was Matt, M-A-T-T, and then in, like, eighth grade it was M-A-T, and that's kind of what I've been using on the internet.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of, like, Zachs that are coming out that are Z-A-C-H.
Right. And then it'll go to, like, Z-A-C, and it's just like, you can just call me the Z-Man and all that shit. And people have all these clever internet names, like D-Simon and Lance Wackerly, a sick and wrong, and, you know, shit like that. So,
like, are those fake? Do you think those are fake names?
Yeah, totally. D's real name is Dave. You can quote me on that. And I don't remember what Lance's real name is. They said it once on the show, it slipped, and it was a long time ago, though.
Yeah, I have a bad habit of not listening back to anything. I'll just, like, start listening from wherever. So I'm, like, completely ignorant, like, you know what I mean? I went back and listened to the first couple, like, Keith and the Girl episodes, but I really started, like, it, like, a year ago, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if I listen to something and then, like, I don't get through it before the next episode comes out, I'll just delete it and then start with the next episode. Unless I know they're talking about us or something, then I'll listen to it. Or if it's something I'm really interested in, I'll take the time. But other than that, yeah, I don't really care.
Yeah, I've heard them bring you up occasionally.
Yeah, it was right after we went on that cruise and I met them all in person. Which we got some pretty good traffic from that. We got quite a few more listeners because of it, so that's cool. Hopefully, when we go to New York to the stand-up show, we'll get quite a few more.
Yeah, they were annoyed by this question, but it's really like if you talk about podcasting or you say you have a podcast, the first thing out of everybody's mouth is, "Well, what's it about?"
What's a podcast?
Well, yeah. After that, oh, it's a radio show. What's it about?
Do you want me to answer what's a podcast?
Like,
or?
Like, have you been asked what it's about a lot?
Yeah, actually, when I tell people about it, like, I'm the worst about promoting my own shit, because I hate feeling like, hey, this is me talking for 2 fucking hours, come listen to it. Like, I hate doing that, so if I can get other people to tell people about it, they'll generally have a better reaction than if it's just me, because they're like, well, of course you think it's good, because it's you fucking talking, and of course you like to hear yourself talk. But yeah, the biggest question when you're like, this is the Jam Hole, it's a podcast, they're like, well, what's a podcast, what's it about? And the only thing I can really say, and I hate to compare it to it, but it's like, you just gotta tell them it's like a Howard Stern show, but totally uncensored. We don't answer to anybody. There's no possible way we could ever get canceled unless I get so poor to where I can't afford internet and power. And even then, I will drive in front of somebody else's internet and leech theirs. So to describe it, it's just a completely unmoderated medium of talk format, pretty much. Like, if I said nappy-headed hoes, I'm not going to get fucking 20 companies coming at me being like, oh, we want an apology and this and that, or we'll turn you off. It's like, well, you can go fuck yourself, because I will never get turned off.
Yeah, I don't know why people always think that it's about something specific, you know? It's like, you think I'm going to talk for an hour about something that specific? It's whatever I can fucking scrap together to talk about.
Right, and that's what I kind of went through when we first started it. And I was, like, trying to think of a name for it, and all the names I was coming up with were kind of limiting in what the subject matter could be. Like, if I was going to do, like, a weed oriented show. Like, I didn't want to just stifle myself to just that one subject. I wanted to be able to talk about everything and anything. So we kind of went with the jam hole because that incorporates, like, you know, it's not one specific thing. It can be all about whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, yeah, you know, they were annoyed by that question, obviously. It's like everything and nothing. Like, how did you find out about podcasts?
Yeah, and that's the whole everything, nothing thing. That's been around way before podcasts was even a thing. Like, back in the day when I used to write that website, mindorgy.net, there was a whole genre of websites kind of like that called EN sites, and it stood for everything, nothing. And they were basically these PHP nuke websites that people... like one or two people would start up and they would find, you know, different pictures on the internet. This was way back before it was all audio based and shit like that. So this was when, you know, the baby dancing picture was first coming out. So people would get that and they'd be like, oh, this is funny. And my site was kind of based around what I thought about stuff and all my, I would write different articles about shit, weed legalization and what I thought about abortion and religion, and I would just write these ranty kind of articles, and I started looking around after I started that site, and I found, like, all these other sites. Bog.org was one, holeinthe.net was one, CFUS, like, there was all these different sites kind of like that, but none of them really wrote their own shit. They were always taking other shit they found on the internet and then putting it onto their site to get traffic. And one of the main things from all these sites is that each one would have their own little porn directory, like a TGP type of thing, a thumbnail gallery, and that's where they would get the majority of their traffic from. So we kind of stayed away from that, but we did more like digital art and celebrity fakes. We had a whole bunch of those. I had like three or four people making those for me. And basically, I kind of lost interest in doing that because I didn't have the whole PHP nuke format. So mine was all just HTML that I coded myself. So every time I wrote a new article, I had to take like, you know, 2 hours to take down the one that was on before, archive that, and then put up the new one, link all the pictures. But like now it's all automated and shit. So it's a lot easier. But then, you know, I lost interest in doing that. And then here comes podcasting. And I'm like, holy shit, this is kind of like what I was doing writing the articles, but I can actually put my voice and my passion behind it. Instead of people just reading the words I'm typing, they get to actually listen to me and my feeling and the laughter and all that. So it just kind of took off from there.
Well, did you just, like, kind of figured that a podcast should exist? Like, where did you first hear about, like, something like that?
I first heard about it when I got my very first iPod, like, back when, I think they were the second or third gen iPods, but it was the one they first started doing the photos. It was the iPod Photo, and I got that, and I took it home, and installed iTunes, and I saw this thing on there called podcasts. I was like, what the fuck is this? And so I looked in the directory, and this was back, my very first one I listened to was Informer and Snitch, and it was these two guys, but their whole personas were that they were squirrels. So they would record their show, and then they would speed it up so it sounded like squirrels. Like, it sounds really stupid, but it was the funniest fucking thing ever. And so I started listening to that, and they did about 12 episodes, and then they kind of went away, or pod faded, as all these fucking retard geeks call it. And then I started looking for other shows, and I found, you know, Don and Drew and Nobody Likes Onions, and I listened to them, and they were fucking awful. And then I found Keith and the Girl, Distorted View, then I found Sick and Wrong. And after listening to them, I was like, you know, this is kind of ranty. This is kind of like what I was writing back when I ran mindorgy.net. And I'm like, holy shit, I can totally fucking do this with... Because I'm... Like, when Keith and Hemda started it, they were more from the stand-up, artsy kind of background. I'm from the more computer technical background of it, so I knew how to set everything up. It was just getting like the format and the voice and all that down. Like, when they started it, they had, you know, all the content and shit, but they had a hard time getting everything set up. And that's where Kemda's brother came in, and, you know, he did all the programming and shit for him. So it just started from that, and it is what it is now. which is kind of way more than what I thought it would be.
Yeah, I started like listening to regular radio shows that would put their own show on podcast. And then after that, I figured there's got to be like somebody just doing it, and you know. And then eventually, I found Nobody Likes Onions, and I started listening to that. And then they started talking about Keith and the Girl and stuff, so I started listening to all those different ones.
Right, it's crazy how these other shows will like talk shit about other shows, and they're like, "I fucking hate you." And it's like by them doing that, that's how other people hear about it, and they end up taking fans almost. Like, we've got quite a few fans that were from Don and Drew and even Keith and the Girl that if our live show is on and Keith and the Girl is on, like, they'll totally come listen to us. Granted, it's not that many, but, you know, it's still a few, and it's cool for me personally because, like, they were one of the first shows I came up listening to, and I'm like, you guys like us better than them? That's so fucking flattering to me.
Yeah, what other podcasts have talked about you on their show before?
Well, when we first started, we did this little voicemail spam thing to where I put the phone number for Distorted View and Sick and Wrong and Brian Is In You on our show notes for a couple weeks. And on the first few shows after, I think, episode 10, we started doing this. I was like, I don't care what the fuck you say. Just call all these voicemail lines, whoever's listening right now, and, you know, say whatever you have to say, and then just make sure you're like thejamhole.com or something like that. And that happened, and we got a lot of like negative response from that, like, fuck you, you're ripping off Distorted View, you're on his dick, fucking your show is a rip off of that. But we also got quite a few people that came and listened, and they're like, we fucking hated you at first, but now, like, I can't stop listening to it. Like, I'm totally hooked on it. So it worked out both ways. And there's still a lot of people that I know they listen, but they're afraid to say they are, because I don't know if you noticed this or not, but these podcast loyalists, I guess you could call them, they're like fanboys pretty much. Like, Sony has the Sony fanboys and Nintendo and fucking Apple and PC. Like, if anything comes to them and it's not what they're into, they immediately just fucking hate it with a passion, you know? Like, they don't even give it a chance. They're like, you're not Keith and the Girl, you're not NLO, so you can go get fucked, and I won't even give it a chance. But there are quite a few that will, you know, be more open-minded about it.
Yeah, and it's so hard when you're doing your show to, like, not rip off other people. Like, after I've done recording, I'm always like, fuck, did I hear that? Am I, like, quoting Distorted View or something? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
I think you have, like, a better approach to it. You'll like, point out that you're quoting it. But I subconsciously, like, you know, like you said, you're listening to those other shows, and they start saying, let's do some news. This one is called, you know, and then you're like, fuck.
Yeah, and that was awesome. The other day I heard Ear Candy New York actually say that. Like, that was kind of our thing. We started out saying, let's do some news, and then our 10th episode happened, and our friend Sean was like, can you shorten that to one syllable, just do some news? And it kind of evolved from that. And then the other day, like 2 weeks ago, I was listening to Ear Candy's podcast, because they do the question of the week thing with us, and one of the guys was like, all right, well, you ready to do some news? And I was like, holy shit, that's fucking our shit. Don't you dare say this one is called, you punk ass motherfucker. But I catch myself doing that every now and then, and I'll try and point it out, because we all listen to all the same shows, pretty much. I mean, there's only so many really tolerable, funny shows out there, if that's what you're into. So we try and make, like, kind of the same, like, we'll keep a joke going, like the whole fucking up in the tree leprechaun thing, or the fucking crack meth thing. And, like, it's cool because everyone knows what we're talking about, even though it's an inside joke for that one show. So it works that way. But like I said, there's those hardcore fanboys that are like, oh, you're fucking ripping off Distorted View. It's like, dude, Distorted View does one show 30 minutes a fucking day, and it's just him with all these sound clips. So that's where everyone's like, you should start using sound clips, and I kind of wanted to not go down that road, because that would make it sound a lot more like that if we're sitting here playing all these different sound bites and shit like that. And that kind of makes it, I don't want to say cheesy, but it makes it more like a, it reminds me of like the Monday morning drive to work radio, like terrestrial radio thing, where they have all the fucking stupid sound bites and shit. Like Family Guy spoofed it once with Brian and Stewie, where they're like Dingo and the baby, wah wah, weir weir weir, and they did all that shit. Like I don't want it to go there, but Tim does it and he does it really well and it's funny. But like if you listen to our shows, they're nothing alike. Granted, there's only so much fucked up shit happening in the world to read about, so I try and not listen to his latest show till after we're done doing ours. That way, even if I'm not trying to do it, like, when I'm thinking about it, subconsciously, maybe I'll start to form the same kind of opinion, because, you know, we all think around the same way, so if I hear him do a story and mention something, I'll want to play off of that. So I have to stop myself from listening to his latest shows or Keith and the Girl's latest shows. Usually with them, I'm a day behind. So when we do our show and we do our news stories, I'm not saying, you know, making the same jokes. And if I do, I know that wasn't on purpose because I hadn't listened to that show yet.
Yeah, I was going to try to get into that because I try to stay away from doing like news stories because my audience, I figure if I'm going to get any, is all for me to be all these same shows and you're going to hear the same news stories. And it's only, mine's only once a week right now. So I just try to talk about stuff that only happened to me that nobody else can talk about. You
yeah,
know what
and
I mean?
That's cool how you're doing that and we do that. Like everyone has their own personal things happening to them, and that's why I like about Big Mouth's podcast is that he's a delivery driver up in Alaska and I'm a delivery driver here, so we have the same kind of pet peeves and things we get super fucking pissed about because we work in kind of the same industry. But also with the news stories, it's cool in a way that everyone's gonna have a different opinion about what happened. So if you listen to like Sick and Wrong, Distorted View, and the Jam Hole and Big Mouth's podcast, and say we each all do the same news story, assuming we didn't listen to the other show do that story first, we're all going to have a different take on it. So if you're a fan of all the shows, you get like a completely rounded opinion about what happened.
Yeah, I actually made a stupid soundboard this week.
From what?
Just clips I found on the internet.
Of just, like, people talking, or was it from a specific show?
No, I mean, I just grabbed stupid sound effects. I don't know, it makes me laugh every time, what can I say?
Nice, nice. See, like, when I hear soundboard, I always think of, like, the fucking E-Bombs World, like Arnold Schwarzenegger soundboards and stuff like that. But you're talking, like, more sound effects type of thing.
Jesus, man. Yeah. Can you hear those?
Huh, do it again? Yeah, totally.
Yeah, stuff like that. I don't know. It cracks me up.
Yeah, and that it definitely, like, if you work it into your show properly, it'll make it a lot better. It's just we have so many things to keep track of, and I don't know. I kind of wanted to keep it natural in a sense like that. And that was another thing, like, other shows will, when they start setting up their show, they'll read through everything, they'll set out their segues, and they'll make it so it all flows together. Like, we try and keep our shit completely random. Like, I don't talk to Braden at all before the show about what I'm going to talk about. That way, everything is totally, like, first reaction. It's not like, oh, we already just talked about that. Let me say what I said earlier right now. And it sounds kind of like a canned response almost. Like, I try and keep it as freestyle and off the cuff as possible so you get our first reaction and it's a natural sounding reaction. So when we do have like a bunch of different things that all happen to flow together, it's a totally random thing, but it's all fucking coincidence, and it makes it that much cooler, I think, that like we didn't plan any of this out and we just did 2 hours of starting here and it ended up here with everything in the middle like totally bouncing off of the thing we talked about before. It's totally awesome when it happens. It doesn't happen all the time, but when it does, it's fucking sweet.
Yeah, it's a weird thing where you're like, I'm going to talk about this, and then you start thinking of ideas, but then you're like, oh man, I want to keep this original, but then you keep thinking of jokes that you want to do, and yeah. Then you do the show and you forgot to say a joke, and you're like, fuck it.
Yeah, totally. And like when I first started writing notes, I would catch myself trying to do like almost what I was writing from mindorgy.net, like I would write out too much. So the more I got good at this, the more I started just writing out like ideas and key points, and then I would have to stop myself from thinking about it, because once I would think about it, I'd have to write it down, and then that's one more thing I can't really use now because I've already thought about it in my head, and it's going to come out sounding like a canned response. So I just, nowadays, I just write down like little bits and phrases that'll remind me of what I want to talk about, and then the rest is all just off the top of my head, pretty much.
So, what's up with Montana? Like, you were born there and you've been there your whole life?
Fuck no, dude. I was born in California. I was born in Lancaster, Glendale Hospital, driven home in a limo. Actually, if you listen to episode 100, it was our anniversary kind of thing. We had my mom here. She talked about me growing up and being a baby and all that fucking shit. It was fantastic. But, yeah, I moved up here to Montana when I was 13. My mom and dad were sick of, you know, all the drive-bys and gangs in fucking California, and my dad used to repo cars in L.A., so they wanted to kind of get out of there. I don't know how the fuck they picked Montana. It's like two completely different fucking scenarios, pretty much. It's like you go from this huge, big city, inner city kind of ghetto living to like this total country setting. So it was kind of a crazy shock for me. Like, I was 13 when it happened, and I fucking hated this place when I first moved here. But now, like, I've been back to California, and now I really fucking hate California, and I really like it here. It's just, there's too many fucking people, man. It's so fucking crowded down there, and traffic and all that shit. Like, we're starting to get kind of crowded up here, but nowhere near the numbers that are down there.
Yeah, and I can't think of another podcast that's from like some podunk city.
I know,
nobody knows about.
I mean, other than Big Mouths, like, they're up in Alaska, but they're in Anchorage, which is way bigger than where we're at here. And I think say that again.
People have an idea. Like, when you say Anchorage, people can imagine something, you know what I mean?
Right, like a big city, like, or they think of that show Northern Exposure, kind of, something like that. But, and then Hotcakes, they're up in Canada, I think up in Ottawa, which is, you know, still a big city. So, I think we're, besides, like you said, the stupid little church podcast, I think we're the only legitimate talk show on the internet podcast kind of thing here in Montana, which is kind of cool for us.
Well, I just assumed you were going to branch out eventually and, like, get to, like, a bigger city or whatever. I know you want to go to, like, Amsterdam, but what's the plan, from Montana to Amsterdam?
Kinda. I don't know. Like, unless, you know, something happens. Like, I have a good job here. I have, you know, the work truck and all that shit. My rent is really fucking cheap. So if I can stay here and milk it as long as I possibly can, like, I want to take trips and do live shows and meetups and stuff, but I don't want to move, because especially right now with the way the economy is, and it, I don't want to have to find another fucking job. This job I have here working at the water store is the longest I've ever had a job, and it's one of the best paying jobs I've ever had, and it keeps me in shape. Like, I used to be a big fat kid, and I've lost so much weight doing this job, so it's a really good thing. And I mean, like I said, I have a cheap rent that I can do this show from. The neighbors, for the most part, quit bitching about our 3 a.m. loud rants and screaming and whatnot. So this is a good home base of operations for right now. I can see if things get better and I have the opportunity to do the show 5 days a week and not have to have a regular normal job, then yeah. But the main plan is either move to Amsterdam and open up a coffee shop where we can do live shows 5 days a week, sell weed, sell food, and, you know, coffee, stuff like that. People can come in, order their weed, get stoned, order food, because obviously they got munchies now, and then sit and eat and listen to a show, then, you know, I think that would be the perfect thing. Plus, up in Amsterdam, you're constantly, every week, you're getting a new influx of tourists, and they all speak English. They're mostly American and European, so you're always getting fresh customers. So I think it'd be the perfect fucking place to do it. Plus, I went there once for a week, and I fucking loved it. And I would love to live in a houseboat on a canal there and just call that life.
You travel a lot, apparently. I mean, you've been to New York and Amsterdam and...
Yeah, when I was... when I was 16, I graduated fucking junior high or grade school. I don't even know what the fuck it was, but my grandparents sent me to Germany for a month, and then when I graduated high school, that's when I went to Europe, and I stayed in London for a couple months from a kid I met through doing mynorgy.net. He ran this site called anothersite.co.uk. His name's Simon, and he let me just stay there with him and his mom for free the whole time I was there. So I went there, hung out there for a couple months, went to the Homelands Festival, then I went to Switzerland, down to Italy, back up through Germany, ended up in Amsterdam for the last week, and then went back to London. And before I did this, I worked for Alamon Telco, which was a phone install thing. Like, everything that makes your cell phone work, your data service work, I used to install the servers behind all that shit. And that was like me when I was 17 and my car, and they would pretty much just give you a name, a phone number, an address, and the time to be there, and you would have to drive cross country because none of these jobs were near Montana. It was all like New York, Las Vegas, Denver, Colorado, Austin, Texas. It was all over the place, and it was like a scavenger hunt pretty much. You're like, here, you have to be here in 3 days, you have to find a place to live, find a food, find, you know, if you want to smoke weed, you got to do all this all on your own without knowing where the fuck, you know, the place that you're going to. It's just like, I've never been to half of those places, but it was a cool experience, and it made me more open-minded, I think, because I saw how all these different kinds of people lived rather than, you know, going from California to Montana and then never leaving here.
And you're 28 or 27, or how old are you?
I don't know. I was born in 1980. I guess that makes me 28. Yeah, I'll be 29 this fucking year, I guess. Getting old, man.
I guess. I mean, you've done a lot, though. You have a podcast, and You live in Montana,
yeah? Yeah, I kind of gauge it from, like, Keith and the girl. Like, he's, what, 34, 35 almost? So I started this a couple years younger than when he started it. So we're about where we should be if I want to be where they're at right now, which would be fucking great. They're making a really good living. I mean, they can support themselves in New York City, which is ridiculously expensive to live in, just by doing a show 5 days a week. Like, I would be so fucking set if I can do that by the time I'm 35. Like, I will be totally happy.
Yeah, that used to be my attitude. Like, I was never worried about what I was doing because, like, the people that I knew were a lot older than me. But now, like, Shia LaBeouf, who's only, like, a month older than me, is making millions of dollars.
Right.
And I'm in a studio apartment from my house,
yeah,
doing a radio show.
You start looking at what all these other people are doing that are getting to be your age, and it's like, fuck, man, you've made more money just in the past, like, 2 months than I've made my whole fucking life. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I don't know. It's all a dice roll, I guess. I mean, maybe you should have stayed in California.
I know, right? I wish my parents would have made me try and be all pretty and prissy and sent me to all these commercial fucking talent scout things and, you know, made me all anorexic and shit.
Have you done any acting or I know you do poetry and stuff.
Yeah,
but
no, I just write a lot of spoken word stuff. I always joke about my 4 years in Juilliard. I never did that. That's all fucking bullshit. But no, I took, you know, some drama classes and stuff like that. But most of, like, when I read confessions, I just try and put my mind into where that person would be and just pretty much over-exaggerate everything because, I mean, granted, now we're doing the show live video, so you get to see it, but when we first started, it was just audio, so I had to figure out how to convey all these emotions and stuff with just my voice. No, and, like, when you talk to somebody, body language is half of the conversation, so to be able to convey all of that expression just through audio, through your voice, like, you have to really go over the top and over-exaggerate it, so, and I mean, I done, like, school plays and bullshit like that, like, everybody did, but yeah, this is the most I've ever been, you know, out in front of people as far as, like, I've never done stand-up like Keith Malley has or, you know, sung in front of bands and crowds like Hemda did, but it's all the same shit pretty much.
Is there any comedy clubs in Montana?
Nope. Just the one called My Living Room. That's it. there's open mics and shit like that, but it's all like rednecky kind of divey kind of bars. So like it's not even the kind of thing where I would go there and do like the hip hop shit I'm working on with that emo poetry stuff I'm putting to beats. Like, I wouldn't even go to those bars to do it, just to do it in front of people. Like, it's not that kind of crowd at all. So
yeah, you can't do it in a bar. I mean, it's just terrible.
Yeah, and pretty soon, I mean, May 23rd, we're going to do our first live show. I mean, April, obviously, when we go to New York, we'll be doing live shows from there, from our hotel room or wherever the fuck we end up staying. But May 23rd, here locally, is going to be our first local, out in the public that we talk about kind of show. And, you know, I talk a lot of shit about all these fucking retards we live with, so to speak. So it's going to be really interesting because it's right in the middle of town. It's at this place called Depot Park, right by the mall. Just today, if you looked at thejamhole.com/Twitter and saw my twit pic thing about those protesters that were saying Obama's a liar, that's Depot Park. That's where we're going to be at. So it'll be pretty interesting. And what it is called Allzypalooza. And one of the guys I work with, it's a metal show he's putting on. And he did it last year, and it was really cool. And this year, he wants us to podcast the whole thing live, and then we're going to do a show at the beginning before, obviously, all the metal bands start playing. But then, you know, in between every band's set, we'll be coming on and introducing them, talking about them, and we're going to do our show right before all that happens, like while everyone's getting set up. That way, it's still fairly quiet, and there's not all this metal music being played. But that's going to be our first live audience kind of thing, besides, like I said, when we go to New York. So I'm really excited about that. I'm more nervous for Braden than anything else because he's only 18, so I got a good 10 years on him. But as long as, I think he'll be all right. He's really coming into his own with this whole thing, and now that we got Danny doing the show with us and shit, like I think he'll be really good.
Bring some chicken wire, I guess.
Yeah, I know. I was almost thinking like that South Park episode where Kathy Griffin or whoever came in and they had her behind the bulletproof glass and Mr. Garrison was up there about to take a shot at her and shit. Like, I was picturing something like that happening. Like, we've been following you, you racist, religious, hating fucker, and this is going to be their chance to fucking get us. But I ain't scared. We got Danny and our salt guys there.
Yeah.
Say that again?
Anything after a metal show is just like, like, I knew somebody tried to do stand-up after a metal show, and...
Yeah, that's why we're going before it, but I always thought, like, comedy and death metal, like, that'd be such a cool combination. Not like, I don't know if you ever watch Metalocalypse, where they try to do death comedy. Like, not like that, but I don't know, I think... It's the same kind of people, pretty much, that listen to metal, around here at least. Like, I don't know in other cities, but all the kids here, they're all into pretty much all the same shit. So, I think a lot of them will hear, like, I'm going to tailor the show that we're going to do that day. It's not going to be, like, you know, a normal, I'm not going to be like, so I was delivering to this bitch today and fuck her, and oh, I see she's in the audience, oh, hi, miss, you know, like, it's not going to be anything like that, but we'll do some confessions, some fuck my life, we'll read some news, and yeah, I think it'll be cool. I don't think we'll have any problems. The only thing I can really see is that we'll have to kind of watch our mouths, I guess, because it's right in the middle of town, and it is a benefit for Alzheimer's, which is obviously old people, so I don't know.
The show's hard to do, too.
Yeah, which is great that he's doing a death metal benefit for Alzheimer's. Like, I don't know what made him start doing that kind of shit, but it'll be fun. And if anything else, it'll be experience doing the show in front of people, which is what I kind of want to start doing, like, you know, every month or every couple weeks, is find a place that people can sit down and order drinks and sit and watch a show, kind of like a comedy club, but not like... You know, because we don't have comedy clubs. So I have a couple friends that are bartenders that we might be able to use their bar there, where there's chairs and a stage that we can work with. So if this goes well, that I think it's going to go, then we'll start doing that. That'll be the next step. We just got to get a lot more local listeners, because right now the majority of our listeners are, you know, in Europe and all over the U.S. There's quite a few here in Montana, but most of them are not. So
Do you know how many people listen to your show? Do you have any idea how to track that?
I do a little bit. Like, I don't really keep track of it. I know we have over 60 forum members now, where you're usually around 23 to 25 on the comedy ranking and Podcast Alley. But as I need to look at downloads. And now that we have our new server, I can start tracking that stuff. I just haven't let yet because I have no time. But
you get a lot of wild emails from people you never heard of.
Yeah, we get like, you know, 5 or 6 a week. I guess that's not a lot compared to other shows, but I think the majority of our listeners listen to us along with other shows, and they're the kind of people that just listen to it and they don't interact. Like, I listen to quite a few shows that I've never sent an email to. Like, I'm just a silent listener, pretty much. But then there's a couple shows that I know the hosts really well, and, like, we're friends almost because of the fact that we have shows. So I think there's a lot of people out there that are silent listeners that will just, like, listening to radio talk shows. How many people... they have all these listeners, but how many people actually take the time to send them an email and be like, oh, I really like what you said about this, or I like what you said about that? And if we do get emails like that, it's usually to say, we fucking hate what you said about this, you're a bigot, racist, or we are religious and you totally offended us. And it's like they never take the time to tell you you're doing good, but as soon as you say something that offends something they like or something they are, that's when, you know, you evoke enough emotion to where they'll take the time to write you an email, which writing an email takes like 2 seconds, you know, but people are just lazy, I guess.
Yeah, did you hear my email on Sick and Wrong?
Yes, I did, actually. I just got done listening to that episode yesterday.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, it's weird. Like, you send emails to some people, and they're like, oh, man, this guy's bad at writing. You send another thing, and people laugh at it.
Yeah, totally. It depends on the host, I think. Like, how much of an ego they have because of where their show's at. Like, Sick and Wrong, they're more down-to-earth kind of people, but they're not trying to make a living at it. Like, Keith and the Girl, they're more the ego kind of driven people, but that's their business. They make a living doing it. Sick and Wrong, it's more of a hobby. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, and they liked my stand-up submission, but then, like, I don't know, I wrote them a poorly written email. I don't know if they've connected the dots on who I am yet.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, they're over 1 million downloads a month, and they probably get a lot of emails. Like, you know, we have 64 members, maybe about 10 of those are really active, and the rest will post something every now and then. So you figure over 1 million downloads, you're probably going to have at least 1,000, probably more like 10 or 20,000 people that are actively participating and emailing. So they have a lot more shit to go through, but that's all they do. Like, if I spend time on the show the couple hours before the show, and that's it. If I have free time during the rest of the week, I do it. But Monday, Wednesday, Friday, those are the days, and I have a pocket PC phone, so I try and communicate with that as much as I can. But if that's all I did, if I didn't have to go to work 6 days a week, I would spend so much more time just focusing on the show. But it's not my full-time job yet, so... I don't know. Maybe when it gets there, it'll turn into that, hopefully.
Well, I just have a lot, you know, I don't have any good ideas on how to promote their own show. I mean, it's like you bring people on the show, and then maybe they'll listen back to their own episode, or you go on forums and start posting and post a link to your show, but then you just look like that's why you're there, to fucking plug your own show.
Exactly. You get the people that are like, oh, you're just spamming, and then they don't listen to it. It's like, well, how the fuck else do you get the word out? Like, and that's why I think, I mean, you can spend money and do what I do and go on, like, the cruise for Keith and the Girl and stuff like that and actually meet them in person. And that's what they said, that, like, a lot of people thought I was spamming, but they're like, no, he's actually active in the forums. He's been a member since 2005. It's just like, now I have a show. I have something that I want you guys to listen to. That's when they get all defensive. And they're like, we're loyal to Keith and the Girl and Keith and the Girl only. And if you're not that, you can fucking die. And it's like, well, we're all kind of trying to do the same thing here, you know?
Yeah. Well, That's a lot. You've said quite a lot.
Good.
Thanks
I hope
for talking.
You got good stuff to work with, hopefully. And let me know if your shit crashes, because I got it all recorded, too. So.
Okay, I'll let you know. Yeah, I'm going to do my show today, talk about some of these freaks I've been seeing on live video.
Oh, my God, dude. That the people that have the most fucking views, it's like, it's just a cam whore that's like, I'm just sitting here, my fucking pimp bought me a fucking laptop, and now, like, all, and these people are sitting there, and if you look at who else has a camera on, and you drag that into the window, like, it's all these fucking douchebag guys that are just drooling over this fucking dumb slut that's just sitting there. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's okay if she's actually gonna take off her clothes, but it's like old men just gawking at, like, chicks just staring at a camera not being interesting.
Yeah, they're not taking off their clothes. They're fucking just sitting there typing. It's like, cool, dude. If I wanted to watch that, I'll just go watch porn. This is so, and they have so many people sitting there watching them. It's so crazy. I'll go in there and spam our show a bunch, and I'll even turn the camera on and be like, are you guys seriously watching this? You guys look like fucking zombies. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, this chick was talking to this guy, and she was kicking out everybody else in the room.
I love that.
But you can, like, she didn't realize that I could just watch it without joining the room.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean?
You don't have to be in the chat to do that.
I recorded, like, a huge chunk of the retarded conversation and got a screenshot of her tits.
Nice.
And she was only showing to the guy.
She thought.
So I'm going to start distributing that.
That's awesome. What it'd be cool to do is, like, set up a fucking undercover thing and be like, ha, I'm actually a dude, now you're gay, or something like that. Like, just totally fuck with them. Because these guys are desperate to the point where they will just believe anything, and it's so sad.
Yeah, and I think I might email Jesse Joyce, because there's this chat room that I was in yesterday where it was a bunch of rednecks of a giant Confederate flag talking to people on headsets from their computers.
Oh, that's awesome. Confederate flags in wrong places or whatever.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah, dude.
Like, where the fuck this is the highest room. You have an audience of rednecks on this website just watching you play a fucking acoustic guitar and behind a giant Confederate flag.
Yeah, it's like asking all your friends to come over and be like, hey, you guys want to come over and watch me play Nintendo? It's like, not really, but that's what all these people are doing. It's so retarded.
Yeah, I think crackheads are breaking into my house, so I'm going to keep my webcam on this room all day.
Nice. That's a good idea. All right, man. Well, I got to get ready for work and shit. So, yeah, it was good talking to you. Let me know if that shit crashes. I'll send you the audio.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. Holla back.
Do not be too eager to deal in death and judgment. Even the very wise cuts you.
Look at all these people, the backstabbing bitches. Greed's gotta pray, so they gotta nap my riches. Follow through my scriptures to clean up all the glitches and feeding all you misfits clear lyrical pictures. When you first meet them, look the shit, it's all good. Then after a while, they quick to switch moves. They quick to ditch you. They quick to snitch on your crew, making the pigs follow you. What the fuck you gonna do? Two-faced people, deceitful or equal. The lethal of people from sucking too much dope through the needle. We're steering through your brain to give you ego and ear for you. Fearing all the same, it's a shame no one will hear you. The state of the states is hated, disastrous. Maybe we should get someone in office that can handle this. Not the scandalous ones that dismantle us and battle us for funds. That swing the balances and challenges to one side. Who decides what we like, who we like, and who we might. Through these eyes see the light. It's who these guys, who disguise truth inside. Who is wrong and who is right. Through a song we find the fight to keep moving into the light. Product be the mystical, digital miracle. Sent from beyond, pack bowls are crawling, spit at you. Through our lyrical, we get at you. So you can hear it too. Believe in everything we spit, and maybe you will get it. The way our people living, unforgiving, sitting like we in a prison. I envision better ways to spend the time that we were given. Instead of being pissed in this maze of their shit, wasting days, it's amazing what we let them get away with. Dazed in a haze, they the kings, we the slaves. After everything we make, they even gonna take our beings. Land of the brave, brave enough to get paid or saving up to get safe routine. Shit ain't never gonna get changed, never gonna get sane or get rearranged. Strange people selling shame to eat each and every day. Product gotta stay on top of this apocalypse and stop with this and drop the hits on modern kids who bother. With his columnists, follow this, hollow piss, bottom dwelling monolith. He wallows in all the shit conglomerates will model with. Stay behind and ride the wave. I'm drowning those who like to blame. Ignite your brain to light the way into a brighter day. They find a place to hide the waste created by the final phase. When science wants to play with God, but God ain't got no play. I'll find a way to build my very own designer brain. Hook up the power main, flip the switch, and I'll be on my way. Despite the games they make to take our time and blind our faith, we decide to stay behind the flames to see just how their lies are made. And if somehow you get yourself inside the gate where they create the lies, I'll stay alive and wait for something wise and great to rise and slay. All the insanity, how much the price of pain is on the rise again. So open both your eyes and hide yourself inside the shame it tries to gain until it hits the very size of fame. The more it tries in vain, the more we have to live this life as slaves. So I end it before it gets out of control, and the whole ball of wax melts back into the snow with the sun beating down. Now ask why I'm fleeing town with the bleeding sound of tears playing tag on the weeping ground, with fears of another world swirling around. Your eyes covered in wool, learning to bow. And of course I'm certain now you wear a perfect crown, because the smiles walk miles just to hide their smirking frowns. It's like you all went to school to be circus clowns. It's hurting how we're just like a fat herd of cows. It's sad, I'm mad, I'm pissed at this. We've destroyed everything we need to exist. Craven made dishes, we act vicious, but play bitches like two-faced hypocrites. Shaving our misses, I'm getting paid to spin this game and whip these lame overweight nerds back into shape. No icing on the cake, hell no, not even cake. The only sweet that you get is getting baked. I'm the perfect circle in this world full of shapes, bumping into fakes and waste, rolling on my chase. Heading to the place just to get a little taste, a little displaced faith and mistakes were made. Time and space ain't got shit on me. I kill time for fun cause I'm a spaced out G. Cause G is the groovy, fun-galicious, smoothly preaching to the choir of these angels and gooeys. They're rudely awakened, taken aback, back to the past to destroy the facts.
You are listening to The Jam Hole. The Jam Hole. The Jam Hole. The Jam Hole. .com.